Open up your Bible to Proverbs or look on in the insert. There's some passages printed for you. We'll look at many other passages in Proverbs as well. Proverbs 4, we're going to read verses 10 to 15. Much of Proverbs, but this section here pictures really life as a path, as a walk. You can be walking on the path of wisdom and righteousness, or we can be walking on the path of folly and wickedness. And Proverbs 13:20 connects our walking or others walking and how it affects other people. So here these passages. Would you stand as I read God's word for us? Proverbs 4, verse 10 to 15. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. This is the word of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these proverbs, and we pray that you would impart wisdom to us. Give us ears that are open, that we would receive from you and not be stubbornly foolish. Lord, we need your help. We ask for your blessing and your guidance now. In Christ's name, amen. Well, please be seated. If you watch a crime-solving TV drama or movie at some point, you see the visual board that they get up where they're connecting people and things and notes. They have all these pictures, and it's usually red string, right? Connecting this person to that person and this event to that and this note to that person. All the red string indicate relationships and effects. This thing is connected to that person and it caused this. They're trying to piece together the evidence. I want you to imagine for a second what it would be like if you could be privileged to see your life and your day-to-day on that kind of a visual display. If you could see a web of relationship that connects you with all the other people in your life by all this red string. Now, there are times when we get to see the impact of how we're living, but I think most of the time we're blind to it. We don't quite know how we are affecting other people. Let me clarify. The effects we have on others is there's good things and there's bad things. Some of you may be prone to self-criticism and think, well, all that red string just shows all the negative ways that I affect other people. That's not quite true. There's positive ways you affect other people. There's negative ways that you affect other people. Now, remember, the train people affect us on a Sunday morning, right? I remember several years ago, we were grilling out in the summer, and I was grilling out some bratwursts. And got done with them, put them on the plate. We started eating, and it became pretty obvious pretty quick that they weren't quite done. The outsides were done, but the insides were still a little pink. And, you know, my grilling job was affecting other people. Thankfully, not too severely. We just threw them back on the grill, and all was good. More serious note, though, sometimes I get to see how my attitude affects the people that I live with. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes there's contentment and concern for others and humility and gratitude in my attitude, and that affects my wife and my children. Sometimes it's irritability, concern for me, pride. Those things also affect my wife and kids, and sometimes I see that. Sometimes I see those red strings drawn out from me. Perhaps you've had a friend come up to you at some point and say, man, when you said that thing, when you did that, it had such a big impact on me. And you're like, I don't even remember doing that. I don't even know what you're talking about. But they're saying there's a red string between you and me in this specific way, and you may not even be aware of it. Much of our time is lived in the unknown, not knowing what those red strings are or how we're affecting the people around us. But again, what if you could see that? What if you could see that visual web of relationship and impact from you out to all the other people in your life? Or if you could kind of see the zoomed out version, the last 10 or 20 years of your life and all the different ways that you have affected and impacted people around you. I imagine that if we could see that web, that it would actually spur us on to be more diligent to walk with wisdom. I think if we saw all the ways that we affected other people, it'd actually be an encouragement to us to value our walk more. I think you see this a lot of times with young parents. Get pregnant or have a kid, and all of a sudden they're thinking about their decisions in a new way with more weight. They're thinking about their habits and their patterns and their values because they are aware that they're going to pass those things on, that they're going to impact their children. And this is true with parents with children, but it's, I think, true maybe to a lesser degree in all of our relationships. In all of your relationships, there is red string going out from you and impacting the people around you, some in big ways, some in small ways. And so whether you walk with wisdom or whether you walk with folly, it's not just about you. There's great reason to want to walk with wisdom because of how it's going to benefit you. You can read the Proverbs and see that all over the place. You get benefit when you walk in wisdom. But that's not what this sermon's about. Point I want you to consider this morning is that the impact of how you are walking goes beyond you. The impact of how you walk is felt by all the people around you. And so the first thing we've got to see is that all of our connections, all of our relationships, all the people on the other end of those red strings are put there by God. Whatever relationships and connections you have are not an accident. They're not just happenstance. Right? Think about all the people that you know that you've been connected to even in this last week. Family, friends, coworkers or bosses or right, clients at work, teammates, coaches, the lady you see at the grocery store every week. There are all sorts of different people that you are connected to. Why are you connected to those people? Why aren't you connected to other people? Certainly, you can look to your own decisions as part of the answer, but reality is that God is working through you and beyond you in his sovereignty. Acts 17:26, God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. God has determined. He has allotted your life to live in this time and in this space. And the people that you're connected to, he's allotted that for them as well. Or Proverbs 19 puts it this way, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. If it was just up to your plans of who you would know and be connected to, you wouldn't be connected to all the people you are right now. Many of the people you're connected to, you don't necessarily want to, or you didn't try to be connected to them, but you are. But it's the Lord's purpose. It's his determining that has connected you to them. I know Tad as my neighbor because of God's sovereign allotment. I know Justin through soccer because God did that. Right? I know Miss Vicky through piano as she teaches my children because of God's sovereignty. I have the family I have because God has allotted it and purposed it to be. In Rosaria Butterfield's book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, this fellow Christian encourages us towards what she calls radically ordinary hospitality. There's a story she really tells throughout the book about a neighbor named Hank. Hank moves in. He's not the neighbor that anybody wanted to move in to that empty house, but he moves in nonetheless. He's reclusive. He's got social anxiety. He's unneighborly. Doesn't do the best job keeping up with his yard and his house. Eventually comes out that drugs are part of his story as well. Many in the neighborhood respond how you might expect. They don't like him. They talk about him. They're filled with gossip and dislike of this neighbor. But Rosaria's family sees him differently because they see him as a fellow image bearer who's been put there by God. So they try to build friendship and relationship with him, and one way they do that is by walking dogs. Rosaria walks her dog, he walks his dog, and they just talk and get to know one another. Well, one day while they're out walking, he looks at her and says, "Why are we friends? Why do you treat me differently than all these other neighbors treat me?" She responds, "Because God never gets the address wrong." "You really believe that?" he says. "I sure do." "Is that another one of those Christian things?" She says, "Yeah, that's another one of those Christian things." Friends, God does not get your connections and relationships wrong either. He's put people in your life. He's connected you to people. It's part of his sovereign purpose, and he hasn't gotten it wrong. Some of those relationships may be hard, yes, but he's put them there. And if he's put them there, then your calling is to steward those relationships. It's to walk in a certain way with these different connections, with these different people that you know and impact. Now, you have unique relationships. You know people I don't know. I know people you don't know. And even the people we know mutually, we know them differently. We relate to them in a unique way. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, one thing we need to think about with that proverb is that the company we keep is going to impact us, right? Who are you letting invest in and impact you? That's a good thing to think about, but that's not our focus this morning. Instead, our focus this morning is to be on the other side of the table and think, how are the people you're connected to being impacted by you? Are they being drawn towards and impacted by someone walking in wisdom or someone walking in folly? How are they being impacted by you? So think about all of your God-given connections and relationships. Actually, let names and faces fill your mind for a moment. Friends, family, coworkers, sports, activities, school, whatever. You keep those names and faces on your mind throughout the sermon today. The question this morning is, how are they being impacted by you and how you walk? In what direction are they being affected? Charles Bridges highlights for us, it's not up to us to determine if there will be any influence, only what the influence will be. You have influence on the people around you. Even if you withdraw from them and don't talk to them, you're going to have influence on them. The question is, what kind of influence is it? Now, if we put Acts 17:26 together with Proverbs 13:20, we'll see the point. God has determined allotted people to be connected to you, a follower of Jesus, so that those very people might be drawn toward wisdom, might be affected by your godly wisdom and godly walk. No, not perfectly, and not ultimately. I don't want to imply that you are responsible for the people around you and their decisions. You're not. They are responsible for their own decisions, for their own manner of walking, and for their own life. You're not responsible for that. And also, if you walked perfectly in wisdom, it's not that that would guarantee some result in their response. So I'm not saying that, but it is true that you do have an impact and influence on the people that you are connected to. How you walk doesn't just matter for you, it matters for them. Well, how does this play out? What are some of the different ways that we impact the people around us? I want to give you four things this morning. This isn't meant to be like, these are the only four ways you impact. These are just four things that Proverbs does speak to. Four things we need to consider. So first, you impact the people around you in character. the people around you have a lot of their own connections. They have a lot of their own relationships, some good, some bad, some positive, some negative. Proverbs 1:10 tells us, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." So the people around you, they do have some people who are enticing them towards sin. It's true. Proverbs 22, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare." So the character with which we live has a way of rubbing off on the people around us. Your connections, the people in your life, they have all sorts of their own connections, but one of their connections is you. One of their connections is a follower of Jesus, and that ought to mean something. That ought to impact them in a certain way. So as you walk in wisdom, you impact their character. Walking with you in wisdom, right, it should lead them toward wisdom. Now, wisdom isn't just know-how of how to navigate different things and manage different circumstances. It includes that for sure, but wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Fundamentally, wisdom is to walk in the fear of God. We could look at James 3, where he says, "True wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits." And that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is a walk with a godly character in the fear of the Lord. Now, imagine what would happen in your life if you just spent all your time hanging out with people who exercise 3 times a week and always ate healthy. You'd probably be influenced to do likewise, right? It'd kind of lead you in that same path. Imagine if you surrounded yourself with people who spoke with thoughtfulness and gentleness. Might that make you more thoughtful and gentle in your own words? Yeah, it might have that kind of an impact. And so, as you walk in wisdom, you can nudge the people around you toward wisdom. Think about last week's sermon. For many of us, it hit us pretty square in thinking about our own words and our hearts from which they flow. So think about gossip and slander. You're in a situation, group you're with starts gossiping, starts slandering. You probably don't have to use your imagination, right? This probably happened this week, or it will happen in this week coming up. Well, what if you gently and wisely didn't engage in the gossip in that conversation, but spoke with gentleness and wisdom and navigated that way? Might that have an effect on those people? I'm not saying that there's a guaranteed effect that it's going to have, but might it nudge them that there's a different way to go about this? Or if you really prize speaking the truth and you don't kind of unduly exaggerate in a way that it actually isn't true, and you prize being honest and not lying or deceptive, might that kind of nudge the people around you in a similar way? Or imagine a conversation that you've probably had recently, whether at work or with friends or family, where hearts started getting heated and words started getting tense. How would that change, or how might that change, if you were able to speak with wisdom and gentleness and clarity in the midst of that kind of bomb that's about to explode? Might it affect the people around you? It may not, but it might, right? Walking with godly character tends to rub off on those around you. So walk with wisdom. Secondly, you influence others by wise counsel. Now, there's a lot of things that happen in life where we don't quite know what to do, if we're honest. Same for the people around you. There's a lot of things happening in their lives where they don't quite know how to handle it, how to respond, how to navigate it. And we don't always listen to advice. We're not the best at that in ourselves. Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Charles Bridges summarizes, "Our wisdom lies in self-distrust, or at least allowing the possibility that we may often be wrong." Wisdom says, I might be wrong about this, and somebody else might be right. We don't think that ever. Folly is probably having its way with us. But at times, we and others do listen to advice. At times, we realize that without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Now, your coworkers, your neighbors, your acquaintances, when they come to you for advice, they have the great privilege of hearing biblical wisdom. They have the great gift of getting to hear God's wisdom and not just worldly wisdom. Perhaps it's financial, and you get to counsel a friend on the danger of unnecessary debt or the danger of co-signing a loan, right? They benefit from your advice. I can think of many times over the years when it's been relational. Some in recent years, a lot when I was surrounded by college students in college ministry, helping people navigate dating, relationships, think about moving towards marriage. There's a lot of wisdom that is needed in that season. Has a non-Christian coworker ever asked your advice on a marriage or parenting situation? Ever asked you, hey, this is what's going on in my life. Help me think through it. Maybe they have. Right? The benefit they get or ought to get is that they get to hear God's wisdom when you speak. Well, two things have to be true for your counsel to be beneficial. One, you actually have to be in close enough relationship with people that they're going to ask you. Believers and non-believers. You actually have to have enough of a relationship that they might actually come to you and say, this is going on and I need some help. Would you help me think through it? What's your perspective on this? Secondly, the advice that you give needs to be biblical. It's a really tragic thing when Christians speak unbiblical advice to others. I can say that thinking about words I've uttered. You can probably think of words you've uttered or words you've heard others say. It is a tragic thing if we as Christians counsel somebody in a way that actually goes against and doesn't align with God's word. So others benefit by your counsel. Third, people around you benefit by your generosity. Living generously is living wisely. Proverbs 25:14. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. Now, you've been gifted in a multitude of ways. God has gifted you a ton in different ways, each of us in different ways. How you think, the way you process things, how you speak, the way you approach a situation or a challenge, the skills you have, the experiences you have, the gifts of the Spirit that God has given you, the relationships you have, all of these are gifts from God that you get to use for the benefit of your connections, for the benefit of the people you're related to. But to just know your giftedness, or worse, to speak of your giftedness, to not actually use your gifts for others, is to be like a cloud coming in on the desert that looks like it's bringing rain, only it's not. Right? We need to be clouds who bring rain, who bring refreshment, who bring biblical wisdom to those around us. Whatever God has given you can be used, in fact, ought to be used for the benefit of others. I think in Genesis 12, when God calls Abram, he promises him that the nations will be blessed through Abram and through his offspring. And we know, especially from Galatians, that like ultimately this is talking about Jesus, who is the offspring of Abram, and through him the nations are blessed. That's true. But there's another way that we can think about it too, is that as you live your life in the presence of other people, including non-believers, and you bless them by your generosity, you are bringing blessing to the nations. You are serving them with the gifts that God has given you. But live generously for their benefit. Proverbs 11, one gives freely yet grows all the richer, while another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. People will bless a generous man, but they will curse a stingy man. So to be stingy, that is to not be generous, it doesn't serve the people around you, and it's not even an advantage to you. Living generously is actually good for you. And so live with a generosity that benefits others. Now, I want you to look for opportunities even this week to be generous with what you've been given. But you don't have to, this doesn't mean that it has to be giant things, right? Big things, kind of, this can be written about and told about on a podcast. It's such a good, big way of living generously. A lot of times living generously is very small. It's unnoticeable a lot of times, but it's what Paul says in Philippians 2 when he says, count others as more important than yourself. If you have that mindset, you will live generously. You will give to them of what you have. Fourth thing, others are blessed through your diligent work. Proverbs 18:9, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Or Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So the opposite of diligence in work is laziness or thievery. It's not doing the thing, or it's even taking from others for my own benefit. Now, when I say work, I'm not only talking about what you get paid for. Certainly that's included here, like what you get paid for, your vocation, your job. We should be diligent there, but you should also be diligent in the work of your home with your family, whoever you live with. You should be diligent in the work of raising your children. You should be diligent in the tasks that you work on together with neighbors or family or friends, kind of group project things that you have to figure out. You should be diligent in your schooling and on your team. You should be diligent in whatever role and responsibility God has given you, all of them. Because when you're not diligent in your work, what happens? If you're slack in your work, others have to pick up the slack. Either others don't get the benefit of what you could have given, or they have to do the thing that you didn't do. So not being diligent in the task actually affects the people. But if we're diligent, it shows care and it brings benefit to those around us. There are all sorts of red strings coming out from you impacting other people. All sorts of different ways that you impact them by how you are walking, how you are living. The impact of your walk goes beyond you. But 1 John 4:19 also teaches us, we love because he first loved us. Or we could say, I walk for the benefit of others because he walked for the benefit of me. I care about all the red strings coming out from me because there's a giant red string coming to me from Jesus. So he impacts me for my benefit. So that actually frees me up to not be so concerned about me, but to actually think about others, to think about how my life, how my path, how my walk might impact them, and to be spurred on to choose wisdom. Now, Christ became wisdom for you and for me. He walked with perfect wisdom. He lived well. He never, in cowardice, backed away from personal conflict. He never spoke with rash words that he shouldn't have. He didn't listen to enticing sinners. He walked in the fear of the Lord from the beginning to the end. He walked with perfect wisdom, but he did it for your good, so that you would benefit from that. Think about the four categories that we talked about. What if Jesus had been slack in his responsibilities, in the work that God gave him to do? You and I would receive no benefit. What if Jesus had been self-consumed rather than living with this abundant generosity? No benefit for us. Well, without counsel, plans fail, but we get to go to God's word anytime we want and receive abundant counsel. We get to pray to Jesus and ask for his help and his guidance. We have the Spirit of God poured out into our hearts who guides us from within. If that's not enough counsel, we get to go to one another. We get to ask each other for advice and get and receive biblical advice, biblical help. Well, what about the first one, the last one here, your character? How has your character been impacted by how Jesus lived? Well, you have a new character. You have a new heart. You've been given something new. You are a new creation because of the way Jesus walked. Jesus walked in wisdom for your benefit. So friends, let us walk in wisdom for the benefit of all the people that we are connected to as well. Our Father, our God, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus. Jesus, we thank you that you lived so well, that you walked with perfect wisdom. We thank you that you had concern for us, and that you have given us a new heart. Father, we pray for your help. Open our eyes to see the people around us, to see how our lives affect them. And Lord, please help us by your Spirit to walk more in wisdom. Forgive us when we don't. Help us to repent. And give us strength by your Spirit, we pray, through Jesus our Savior. Amen.
When he was betrayed, the Bible tells us our Lord Jesus took bread. After he blessed it and broke it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This